Hear now these words from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. Now go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
This is one of those stories. One of those stories where the revelation of the final scene changes everything. You know the kind where after you finish the last page or the credits roll, you find yourself looking back at every previous scene. Every word takes on new meaning, new significance. It's one of those stories that manages to shift your perspective in the final moments, bringing everything you thought you knew into question. You see, when chapter 15 ended, the women watched as Jesus' body was laid into the tomb and the stone was rolled against the door. That was supposed to be the end of the story. A tragedy. The wise and good teacher betrayed and abandoned by his own, crucified, his body sealed away in the tomb. The climax of that story is on the cross when darkness came over the whole land and Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus gives a loud cry and breathes his last. Jesus dies, alone and hanging on a cross, and the temple curtain is torn in two from top to bottom. That was supposed to be the end, a moving tragedy that speaks to the tragic reality of how a good man, a teacher proclaiming a message of repentance and compassion and love, is received by a world of power and empire. That was supposed to be the end. When is an ending not an end, one author writes? When a dead man rises from the tomb and when a gospel ends in the middle of a sentence. There's one more scene. The women who were there at the foot of the cross, the women who were there when they placed him in the tomb, the women gather once more. On the cross, darkness had come over the whole land. Now these women gather after the Sabbath, early on the first day of the week, as the sun is rising and the dawn begins to break. The darkness is losing its hold. They have bought spices to anoint his body. As they journey to the tomb, they wonder, who will roll away the stone for them? It's a moot point. When they get there, the stone has already been rolled away. Cemeteries are quiet places. markers with names and dates carved in stone. They're meant to remain still, unchanged for centuries, like the sleeping dead they honor. So when these women arrive and find the stone rolled away, there is trepidation, an unsettled feeling. Something is not right. Remember, they don't yet know about the miracle. When they look up, all they see is that someone has been messing with the tomb of the one they love. Then they come to the tomb, and the teacher is not there. Instead, there's a young man, very much alive, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the side, and the women are alarmed. The young man has a message. It begins like the messages from the angels to Mary and Joseph, to the shepherd and others. The young man says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified, but he isn't here. He has been raised." And just like that, the story is turned upside down. This tragedy becomes something else entirely. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Most scholars believe that Peter was this gospel writer's primary source. Much of Mark's gospel comes through the eyes of the big fisherman. And Mark's gospel points out Peter's failures most keenly. The last time we saw Peter, he was denying Jesus. Terrified by the accusations of a young servant girl in the courtyard of the high priest, he denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus had foretold. And when the cock crowed, he remembered the prediction and his own hollow bluster. And he broke down and wept. Where the big fisherman has spent the days since, we are not told. But the messenger at the tomb makes clear that he is included in the good news. "Go and tell my disciples and Peter." The good news is for all those who follow Jesus, even Peter. They are called back to Galilee, and so the story comes full circle, back to where it began, back to the sea along whose shore Peter and the other fishermen had first heard the calls of, "Follow me." The book comes full circle. They return from this dream to the place of their regular everyday lives. But it's not the same. Nothing is the same now. Jesus will meet them there. As Mary Luty notes, the gospel leaves us with little more than this: a tomb empty of Jesus and a promise that they will be met by him, that we will be met by him. We go where he has gone. Mark's gospel ends strangely. The young man delivers his message, and the women, we are told, flee from the tomb in terror and amazement. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And that's it. That's the end of the book. In the Greek, the ending is so abrupt that it almost feels like it ends mid-sentence. In your Bibles, you may see some extra passages tacked on, but they're almost certainly in brackets with a footnote, alerting you to the fact that these extended endings were not included in the earliest and most reliable manuscripts of the gospel that we have found. The strangeness of this ending is precisely why later scribes felt the need to add something more, to bring some sort of closure to the book. Certainly the other three Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, go further. In the weeks to come here at Stone Church, we will look at some of these resurrection stories together. Jesus' appearances to his disciples, But the Gospel of Mark simply ends, or rather stops, with the women fleeing the tomb in terror and amazement. The gospel writer certainly knows about these other encounters. Mark 13 foreshadows them, and even here at the tomb, the young man's message confirms that Jesus is going ahead of them to Galilee and that they will see him there. What are we to make, then, of this strange, abrupt ending that isn't an ending? It's not so neat and plain as our usual talking points would like to make it. The author chooses to leave the ending open. In Mark's gospel, we do not know how the story will play out. All of the disciples have fallen away. Peter has denied Jesus 3 times. The women, they were the ones who bore witness at the cross and at Jesus' burial and who bear witness again on this strange morning at the tomb. But even they, at the end of the story, even they run frightened and tell no one. This empty tomb, this risen Jesus, has changed everything. It's not safe. The tragedy, grief, they were prepared for. But this, they don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. The story is open. The crucifixion did not end the story. And with this strange cut-off ending, Mark reminds us that the story does not end with the resurrection either. The ending has not yet been written. Even now, all these centuries later, the story continues with us, here and now. How will we respond? How will we respond if we take the empty tomb seriously? This final scene, this revelation that we have taken for granted after all these centuries, it's too much. We can't go on. Everything has changed. We can't go on yet because we first find ourselves looking back. Christ is risen. He is not here. The tomb is empty. It's one of those stories. The story that moments earlier was a tragedy has turned somehow, miraculously, into a tale of triumph. And suddenly, we find ourselves re-examining everything that went before. Every scene. Every word. More so because this is not a story played out on the Hollywood screen. Over the years to come, many claim to have seen the risen Christ with their own eyes, and all but one of the remaining disciples were executed while holding fast to that claim. The other, John, lived out his days in exile on a small island, proclaiming the good news. Not one of them recanted. What does it look like for you? What does it mean for you, for us, if we begin to take this story seriously? If we begin to wrestle with it as more than just a nice story we tell our children each year while eating chocolate rabbits. When we take the risen Christ seriously, this man dead and buried, then raised alive, it changes everything. When we take the risen Christ seriously, we find we had better go back and relook at what Jesus was teaching and preaching, because there is a power at work. Now we have to really wrestle with these teachings that sound like madness in our world. To love our enemies and turn the other cheek. We have to really wrestle now with these commands to give to anyone who asks of us. And these strange proclamations that the poor are blessed. We have to wrestle with this Jesus who told us that we too must follow him to the cross and lay down our lives if we would save them. When we take the risen Christ seriously, then everything I thought I knew about death and the physical world and God's role in all of that becomes more complicated than I had imagined. It is both wonderful and terrifying. I kind of like the laws of science. God's unpredictability, God's power, even over death, is terrifying and complicated. This changes everything. When we take seriously the empty tomb, the story opens up. The tragedy has become a story of triumph. Our stories open up. The tomb is empty. Christ has risen. Death itself has lost its hold. The world is turned upside down. The story isn't finished. Trouble and bondage and despair no longer hold the final say. The tragedies we see playing out in the world around us, the tragedies we see playing out in our own lives, may yet end in triumph. For friends, we are a resurrection people. Even death itself is not the end. The tomb is empty. Nothing is certain. Anything is possible now. Thanks be to God. Amen.